Now, I have put these messages that we have been going through on John 3:16 together in such a way so that it would be helpful, I think, for you to be able to discuss it, to talk about this with people as you discuss your faith with others. So if you ever get into a discussion with someone about worldviews, you can just communicate to them and say, you know, the words of Christ in John chapter 3 really summarize for me what I believe in my faith in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus tells us the danger that we are in, the danger of perishing. He talks about the design of God to send his Son to rescue us from that perishing. He tells us the duty that we have to believe in his Son. And he tells us the destiny that we have if we do indeed believe, namely eternal life instead of perishing. So I hope that you'll be able to share that by the end of this series. But today we're going to focus on the third D, the duty that we have to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish. So I want to focus our attention this morning on this act of believing from several different angles. So write this down as we begin. First, believing is the vital link between your soul and God's love. If we don't believe, we forfeit the love of God and remain under the wrath of God. That's what John chapter 3, verse 36 says. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Believing is our link with the love of God. And notice how Jesus speaks of God's love rescue. God so loved the world so that believers won't perish. And one of the ways to express this is that the love of God is sufficient to save the world, but it is efficient to save those who believe. Efficient means his love actually saves believers. It is effective in saving them from perishing. The love of God doesn't have that effect on the lives of people who do not believe. They perish. So believing is absolutely essential. The world divides into two different groups as the gospel makes its way through the world. Those who believe and those who don't believe. Those who believe are vitally linked to the love of God and they are rescued from perishing. Those who don't believe, they remain under the wrath of God. Believing is the vital link with the rescuing love of God. It is not your race. It is not your IQ. It isn't your church attendance. It isn't your religious background or how many mortal sins that you've avoided. It is whether or not you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So what is that? Believing links you savingly to the love of God. But also, believing is not just a one-time act. Believing is an ongoing condition of the heart and mind. The tense of the verbs all through John's gospel make this very plain. That whosoever believes, not believed on him, might perish. The present tense in the Greek language is an ongoing, continuous action. John chapter 20, verse 31 tells us why this entire gospel of John was written in the first place, and it makes this continuous nature of believing very plain. Look at John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Believing is a vital link with the rescuing love of God when that believing is an ongoing condition of your heart. It is very dangerous. It is very unwise to orient to a past decision when pondering if you are a Christian. I remember when I was in Putnam, Illinois, Putnam Christian Church, my very first ministry outside of Bible college, and one of the first things I did was go and visit all of these people in the church that had stopped coming. That was a very silly exercise, by the way. But anyways, I went to visit this one older gal that she had been to the church, but she got upset because somebody turned the fan on during the worship service and she didn't like the draft that blew down on her. She took it personally, and of course it was a vindictive act, so her response was to never come back to church. Anyways, I went to meet with this dear old lady and talk to her about coming back to church, and hey, I'm the new guy in town, come hear me, you know, and you'll be blessed, or I hope. And so anyway, she talked to me, because I said, you know, you haven't been in church in a long time, you don't go anywhere, you need to be in church. She said, oh, it's okay, Pastor. And she said, wait a second. She got up and she walked down the hallway to her room and came back and showed me her baptismal certificate. It is very dangerous. It is very unwise to orient toward a past decision when you are pondering whether or not you are a Christian. The issue is your believing in Christ still going? Are you believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Is that the ongoing condition of your heart? Next, believing. Jesus Christ needs to be the object and the focus of your belief. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, the Son of God, sent by the Father. So sometimes John or Jesus would say that it's believing in the Father. That's what gives you life. Look at John 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, Jesus said, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And sometimes Jesus says that believing in the Son is what gives you life. Again, go back to John 3:36. Look at the first part of that verse. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But John chapter 12, verse 44 gives the reason why both of those statements are equally true. Then Jesus cried out. Notice that. It's very important. When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. For Jesus, all genuine believing in him was also a believing in God, that God is his Father, and that he was sent by the Father as a revelation of the Father, and that to know Jesus is to know God the Father. So the ongoing believing that links us to the love of God is believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, sent by God. But believing is also agreeing with the objective truth about Christ. Believing is not merely a subjective or emotional thing. It has specific truth content that's true whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it. Christianity stands in diametric opposition to the relativism of our day that says, you know, it's true for me, but I don't want to make any claims that it should be true for you. Christ is who he is, whether we believe him or not. As C.S. Lewis said, an insane man in a padded cell screaming that there is no sun has no effect whatsoever on whether the sun rises or whether the sun sets. Truth is truth, whether we believe it or whether we don't. And genuine believing in Jesus agrees with the objective truth about Jesus. For example, John chapter 17, verse 8, Jesus is praying. And he says, for the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them. And they understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. They understood objective facts about Jesus. He came forth from God the Father. And they believed in those facts. Believing includes agreeing in your mind with the objective truth about Christ. Therefore, we need to know and teach concrete truths about Jesus. But it's also important to understand that believing is also satisfaction with all that God is for you in Christ. In other words, if your believing is only an agreement in the head with facts about Jesus, then your faith is no different than the faith of demons, as James, the brother of Jesus, said in chapter 2 of James, verse 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Knowing and agreeing with truths is necessary, but it is not enough. It does not make you a Christian. Believing means being satisfied with what God is for you in Jesus. Look at John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Believing in Jesus is coming to him in a way that satisfies your soul hunger and your soul thirst. Believing is a very powerful thing. It renovates the heart with new affections. What once satisfied is now distasteful. Believing is based on new taste buds in our soul. And once the soul was satisfied, at least it thought it was, with what the world could offer, but now Christ is so satisfying deep inside that the world loses its power. Jesus says in John 14, verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In other words, believing in what God is for you in Jesus brings relief to a troubled heart. Believing is not merely an intellectual thing, solving philosophical problems. It is that. Some of you need to devote yourselves to spelling that out. But believing is also an emotional experience of being relieved of a troubled heart and a hungry soul. It is coming to Christ and finding Him true and satisfying to the deepest longings of our soul. Believing is our link with God's rescuing love. There is no rescue without it. Believing is an ongoing condition of our heart, not merely a one-time act. The object or the focus of believing is Jesus Christ as He is given by the Father. Believing includes mental agreement with objective truths about Christ. Believing includes heartfelt satisfaction with all that God is for us in Jesus. Did you know, as you read through the Gospels, that the demons would give a fuller confession of Christ than the apostles did? Let's go and check it out. Satan is a masterful theologian. That's why I know you don't go to heaven based on how right your doctrine is. Satan has masterful theology. But what he believes does not make him a believer. Some people confuse knowing truth with having faith. I'll give you an example. Jesus says a guy got mugged on his way to Jericho, and he was left in this ditch. And along come two preachers. One was a Levite and one was a priest. And they saw the guy in the ditch and they walked by on the other side of the road. Now, those two preachers would have got all up in your face if you would have told them that they did not have faith. They would have quoted entire books of the Old Testament. They could have quoted the great teachings of the old rabbis. They could have talked about the paths that they have walked in. They could have passed any theology test any seminary wanted to give to them. But the guy was still back in the ditch. They would have said, "We have faith." But we would say, "Yeah, you do, but it's dead." Faith is not just what you say. Faith and belief is not just what you feel. You see, belief is also what you do, not just what you think. And trying to separate belief from action is kind of like trying to take a spirit out of a body. That's why it is essential that you just not know things in your head. You must also respond in faith. For some of you, the response that you need to make is baptism. Baptism is an act of faith. It is a complete and total surrender, submission to Jesus. If you haven't been baptized, why? Why are you waiting? In fact, I would just say, why don't you just come up to me after service is over and let's begin the conversation. Because right now, your belief is just what you think. Maybe even what you feel. But it's not being shown in what you do. So let's take it to another level. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. And if you've got a decision to make, I want to encourage you to make that decision public as we get ready to sing together. Just stand up with us as we get ready.